After listing 10 different types of avisa tuma, primary sources of impurity in their different levels, and then reaching the 11th and really highest level, which is an avia avisa tuma, which literally means the father of the fathers of impurity. It's the highest level, and that's a dead human body. This Mishnah lists eser tumos parshus min ha'adam, the 10 types of impurity that literally separate from a person. It means that they emanate from a person himself, and something in his own body is the cause of the impurity. A zov is somebody who is impure as a result of certain unusual substances exiting his body via his male organ. A zova is a woman who bleeds in unusual times, and that also makes her impure. And as we're going to see, depending upon how many times a person experiences this idea of the substances exiting his body, his level of impurity would differ. And there are certain times, if for example a Zov experiences this 3 times within a given period of time, then as well as being Tomei for 7 days, he's also obligated to bring certain karbonis on the 8th day, in order to become fully pure. He would go to the mikveh on the 7th day. The mikveh is a body of natural water into which one immerses himself fully and purifies himself like that. But in a case where the tomei person needs to bring karbonis the next day on the 8th day, so even once he's been to the mikveh, he still retains a certain level of the impurity. And the Mishnah says, M'chusar kippurim, somebody who is lacking the atonement. That means that he's waited 7 days, he's been to the mikveh, but he hasn't yet brought the korban on the 8th day. So from nightfall of the 8th day until he brings the karbanos, he's called a mechusar kippurim, and osur b'kodesh, he's forbidden to eat the meat of karbanos, sacrifices. However, mutar b'truma v'maaser, he is allowed to eat truma, which is the portion of one's produce which is given to a kohen to eat, and it has a certain level of sanctity. But it's not considered to be as sanctified and as holy as the meat of karbanos, and therefore mechusar kippurim, who has a very low level of impurity, is allowed to eat truma uva maaser, and maaser sheni is a tenth of one's produce that he's obligated to separate and bring up to Yerushalayim, and he's obligated to eat it over there. Be it as it may, this also has a certain level of sanctity, and it's forbidden to allow maaser sheni to become impure, to become tomei. However, because of Mechusar Kippurim's level of impurity is so low, there is no issue with him eating truma or maaser sheni, and the only really practical ramification of his small amount of tumah which remains is that he's forbidden to eat the meat of karbanos. So that's level one. Now, the levels of impurity over here, the Mishnah presents with regards to one person. The way the Mishnah sets it up is as if all of these things happen to the same person. But obviously it would apply even if it happens to a different person and a person experiences only one of these levels. But as the Mishnah says, Chozar liyos tevul yoyim, if the same person then becomes a tevul yoyim. What's a tevul yoyim? A tevul yoyim is somebody who became tomei, and in order to become pure again, to become tohar, he immersed himself in a mikveh, in a body of natural water, and that indeed helps to get rid of the vast majority of his tumah, but once again, a small amount of it remains until nightfall, until it gets dark later on that day. And the level of tumah that a tevul yoyim has is slightly more than the level which a mechusar kippurim has. Mechusar kippurim is somebody who's, it's been nightfall already, but he's waiting to bring the karbanos the next day. A tevul yoyim on that day before nightfall, after he's been to the mikveh, also by kodesh v'atruma, he's forbidden to eat the meat of karbanos or to eat truma, which is the portion of produce given to kohanim, and it has a certain level of sanctity. However, mutar b'maaser, he is allowed to eat maaser sheni, which is considered to be less holy, it has less strict laws than truma and the meat of karbanos. Chozalei is Baal Keri, if this person then became a Baal Keri, this is the 3rd level, and this truma comes as a result of semen exiting the person's body. Certain substances, osur b'shloshton, he is forbidden to eat all 3 of those things, the meat of karbanos and truma and maaser sheni. And these 3 different levels are learnt out of Pesukim. The 4th level is Chozal Yos Boel Nida, if then he had relations with a Nida, a certain woman who is Tomei. So as we actually learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, Tamei Mishkov Tachton Ko'elyon, he makes the lowest mattress, or the lowest thing which is designated for lying on, impure as a Rishon Latuma, 1 degree removed from the primary source of impurity. because by supporting his weight on the item, even if it's an item which is much lower than, and there's lots of other items in between him and that item, they will all become tomei as a rishon l'tuma, ko'el yoin, in the same way as the item which is on top of a pile of items which are on top of a zov, also all of those items, including the top one, become tomei as a rishon l'tuma. And again, when we say it becomes tomei as a rishon l'tuma, that means that if a person or an object touches that item, they will not become impure. But if that item touches food or drinks, then it will become impure. If then he became a zov who experiences these substances exiting his male organ twice, then he becomes impure as a zov. A zov has to see it twice in order for him to become impure and be able to transfer that tumma via tumas medrus. Tumas medrus means that he transfers the impurity by supporting his weight on an item that is designated for the purpose of supporting somebody's weight. For example, Matami Mishkov, he would make a mishkov, which is something designated for lying on, or umoshov, something designated for sitting on. He would make those things impure if he supports his weight on it, and he transfers the tumma via tumas medrus. That's what this type of transferring of impurity is called. As well as that, unlike most people who become impure, in order to purify themselves, they need to go to a mikveh, which is a collection of natural water, a zov, v'tzorich bias mayim chayim, he requires immersion in a natural spring of water which comes from the ground in order for him to purify himself, and he would do that at the end of the 7-day period of him being tomei. However, upotman akorban, he's exempt from bringing any sacrifice on the 8th day. So after he goes to the mikveh and he waits until nightfall, he will be fully pure. However, Rosh Shalosh, if he experiences these substances exiting his body 3 times in a given period of time, then Chayim B'Korban, he is obligated to bring a sacrifice on the 8th day, as well as the things which are listed with regards to a regular Zov. Chazaleus Mitzorah Muskar, if this person became a Mitzorah Muskar, Mitzorah is somebody who has tzaras, certain disease on his skin, which makes him impure, and when one first sees that he has tzaras, he needs to go to a kohen. The kohen examines his tzaras, and in general, the kohen would tell him that he needs to be by himself for 7 days, after which the kohen will examine his tzaras once again and determine whether indeed it's tzaras which would make him impure or not. Now, even during this first 7 days that he's by himself, he is impure, so much so that Matamim Babia, he makes anything impure when he enters into under a roof. If he enters into a house and he pauses, he stops there, then anything under that same roof will become impure, will become tomei. Upotu mina priya umina frima, he's exempt from the obligation of letting his hair grow and tearing his clothes, which is an obligation, as we're about to see, for Matsuira if his tsaras is determined by the kohen to indeed be genuine tzaras, then he would become tomei for 7 days, and he would have to tear his clothes in a similar way to how a mourner tears his clothes over his dead relative, and he needs to let his hair grow. But the Mishnah is telling us that with regards to a Mitzorah Muskar, who is just waiting for 7 days and his tzaras hasn't been confirmed, he does not need to tear his clothes or to let his hair grow. He's also exempt from shaving off all of his hair and from bringing 2 birds and going through the procedure which the Torah describes, which needs to be done with 2 birds, because those 2 things also are done at the end of the period of a Mitzora whose tzaras has been confirmed, but not with regards to a Mitzora Muskar. The Mishnah says, however, if indeed his tzaras was confirmed to be proper genuine tzaras, then Chai B'chulon, he would be obligated in all of the 4 things which we just mentioned. Continues the Mishnah, Perish Menu Ever, if a limb separates from a person, she'ein olav basar karaoi, and there's not a lot of flesh on this limb. It's learnt from Psukim that a limb from an alive person has the same status with regards to tumma impurity as a dead body. However, if it does not have a lot of flesh on it, then matame b'magal v'masa, it only makes somebody impure if they touch it or they carry it. He would become impure for 7 days, just like if he touched a dead body. But if any time but oihel, it's different to a dead body in that it would not make somebody impure just by being under the same roof. On the other hand, if this limb which comes from an alive person does have significant amount of flesh on it, then it would make somebody who touches, carries it, or is under the same roof as it impure. Says the Mishnah, Hashir Bosa Karoi, what is considered to be the amount of significant flesh for this case? It has to be enough flesh that if it were to remain connected to the body, it would be able to rejuvenate and once again become part of the body. And Rabbi Huda adds that Rabbi Huda says, "Im yesh b'mokim echad kdei lahakifa b'chut erev," if there is flesh on any part of this limb, that technically it's enough that you would be able kdei lahakifa b'chut erev to surround the piece of flesh with. To surround the limb with this flesh, and it would be the thickness of Erev. Erev is the threads which are used when weaving. It's a certain thickness. If there's enough flesh that you'd be able to surround the limb with that flesh, and it would be wide enough, then yesh b'gdei lahakifa, that is a way to know that there is enough flesh on the limb for it to be able to rejuvenate. Mishnah Vav, the third list of 10, which is mentioned in this perek, is Eser Kedushos Hein. There are 10 different levels of holiness in terms of different areas. Different locations have different levels of holiness, and according to their level, will be ramifications also with regards to Tumah. Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshes Mekol Haaretzos. Eretz Yisrael, Israel, is more holy than all of the other countries in the world. Mahi Kedushasa, and in what way does that increased level of holiness manifest itself? Meaning, what is the ramification of that increased level of holiness? That the barley which is needed for the Korban Ha'omer, which is a sacrifice brought on the second day of Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, it is stated in the Pesukim that that barley has to come from within Eretz Yisrael. The Habikurim. Bikurim refers to the first fruit which ripen in a person's field each year. He's obligated to bring those fruit to the Beis HaMikdash. And this obligation only applies to fruit which grew in Eretz Yisrael, and as well as that, it only applies to the Shivas Haminim, the seven species which the Torah explicitly praises the land of Eretz Yisrael for having. And thirdly, Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread which are brought as a korban, as an offering on Shavuos. That bread is also made from flour which came from grain which grew in Eretz Yisrael, Mashein Mevi'in Kemikol Haaretzos. Whereas these three things do not come from any other countries outside of Eretz Yisrael. It should be noted that although there are lots of other differences between Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, for example, all of the tithes which need to be separated from one's field and the produce which grew there, that only applies to fields in Eretz Yisrael. However, that is not as a result of the increased level of holiness of the land, but rather, the Torah only obligates one to separate tithes from produce which grew in Eretz Yisrael. That's not necessarily as a result of the holiness of it, whereas the things mentioned in the Mishnah are due to that increased level of holiness and sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah Zayin, the next level up is Ayaris Mekofis Choma, cities which are surrounded by a wall, or to be more precise, cities which were surrounded by a wall at the times of Yeshua ben Nun, when the Jewish people entered and conquered Eretz Yisrael. Mekudoshos Vimeno, they have a higher level of holiness than other cities in Eretz Yisrael. And what does that increased level of holiness cause? Firstly, Shemashalchim Tochen Sam Tzoroim, we send out of those cities any Mitzoroim. A Mitzoroim is somebody who has Tzoras, he has a certain disease on his skin that makes him impure, and he is not allowed to be within a walled city. In the same way as the Torah describes in the Midbar, in the desert, that anybody who became a Metzora had to leave all of the three camps where the Jewish people encamped. Once they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, that applied to any walled city. Secondly, the law is that a dead body can only be buried in a city with the permission of the leaders of that city, the representatives of that city. And although, in general, one is supposed to try and bury a dead body as quickly as possible, it's permitted to transport and move the body around the city ad sheyirtzu, until the leaders of the city want and give permission for the body to be buried in that city. And even though there is a high level of holiness in these walled cities, and therefore it's preferable that a dead body not be carried around for long, nevertheless, until the leaders give permission, the body can be carried around in that city. However, yotzah, once the dead body has left a city, so it's forbidden to bring that body back into the city. The body is a source of impurity, and because of the increased level of sanctity and holiness which exists in that city, it's forbidden to bring the body back into the city once it has left. Mishnah Ches, the next level is Lefimin Achoyma, within the wall of Yerushalayim itself. Mekudosh Hemenu Emehem, that is a even holier city than the other walled cities in Eretz Yisrael. She'ochlin Shom Kodshim Kalin, that korbonos can be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim, and specifically Kodshim Kalim, which are the types of korbonos which have a lower level of sanctity, and even, and the owner who brings the korban is the one who can eat it. as opposed to kochi kochim, which are types of korbanos that have a high level of sanctity and can only be eaten by the koyanim within the Beis HaMikdash. These certain korbanos can be eaten even within the city of Yerushalayim, but nowhere else. Maaser Sheni, which is a tenth of one's produce that he separates and brings up to Yerushalayim, and has to be eaten within Yerushalayim specifically. Continues the Mishnah with the next level. Harabayis, the 500 by 500 amos area on the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash complex stood. That's roughly 250 by 250 meters. And that area was surrounded by a very large wall and Mekudosh Mimenu that had a high level of holiness than the rest of the city of Yerushalayim. She'ein zovim v'zovos nidos v'yoldos nechasas asham, that a zov or a zova, which is a tomei person as a result of certain substances exiting their body, nidos is a woman who is tomei as a result of bleeding at certain times, and yoldos refers to women who have given birth and are also impure. These four types of people have a severe level of impurity that means that they are not able to enter into Har HaBayis. The truth is, midei raisa, they are allowed to enter into Har HaBayis. Only further in, it's forbidden for them to enter midei raisa, according to the Torah. And we'll see in the next few levels that the Mishnah will count. Also, the Mishnah is counting according to what the law is midei rabbanon. Midei raisa, it could be that these people are able to enter even further inwards towards the Beis HaMikdash. Hachel, the chel, which is a 10 amos wide area surrounding the wall of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Mekudosh Mimenu, that has a higher level of sanctity than the rest of Har HaBayis, the rest of that area on the mountain where the complex of the Beis HaMikdash existed. She'ein goyim tumei meisim chasam d'sham, that non-Jews, as well as anybody who became impure from a dead body and hasn't yet been purified, they are forbidden to enter into the chel, and all the more so, more inwards. Ezas noshim kodeshes imemenu, the outer courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash has a high level of holiness. She'ein tevul yoyim nichnas l'sham, that a tevul yoyim is forbidden to enter there. A tevul yoyim is somebody who has become tomei, and he went to the mikveh, to this collection of natural water in order to purify himself, but he still retains a small level of impurity until nightfall. So he's not allowed to enter that area. If somebody who is fully impure, not a tevul yoyim, but somebody who is tomei on a higher level, if he enters into that area of the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be liable to bring a korban chatos. There is a very severe prohibition of an impure person entering into the Beis HaMikdash, and if he does so on purpose, he is liable to the punishment of koreis, where he's, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, from the Jewish people. And any such sin, if violated by mistake, obligates one to bring a korban chatos, a type of sacrifice to atone for this sin. And the Mishnah is showing us that this area is not included in the area of the Beis HaMikdash for which there exists these punishments. As is Israel, the area of the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, where regular non-Koyanim are able to enter, which is only the very beginning of the courtyard, Mekudeshes Mena, it has a high level of holiness. You know, Mechusay Kippurim Nichnas L'Sham, that a Mechusay Kippurim, who is somebody who's completed his purification process, except for the fact that he hasn't brought the korban on the eighth day, so he's still considered to be impure on a very small level, he's not allowed to enter that area. V'chayoven alei achatos, and if somebody who is fully impure enters that area, by mistake, he would be liable to a korban chatos. And if he does so on purpose, he would be liable to the severe punishment of koreis. As a koyanim, the area of the courtyard where only koyanim are allowed to enter freely, at least, mekudeshes mimena, that has a high level of holiness, she'ein yisrael nechasam l'sham lebishas torcheim, that a regular Jew, a non-koyan, is not allowed to enter that area unless it's necessary. And when would it be necessary? For the parts of the procedure of bringing a korban, where the owner who's bringing the korban is needed, and those are three critical parts, l'smicha, where the owner leans on the animal just before it is slaughtered, l'shchita, when it is slaughtered, even a non-kohen is allowed to actually slaughter the animal, and l'tnufa, when the owner waves certain parts of the korban in the air together with the kohen. For these three parts of the procedure, even a non-kohen would be able to enter that area and perform that part of the procedure together with the kohen.